Amen.
Good morning, everyone. God is good. Amen. Let's really thank the Lord one more time, shall we? So good to see you. The Lord bless you. Welcome to Calvary Chapel this morning. Good to have everyone here and also those that are tuning in live as well. Good to have you. A lot of things happening. I want to remind everyone that today we were supposed to be starting the Paul's letter to the church at Ephesus, the book of Ephesians. We're going to do that next Sunday. The Lord kind of changed up the plans a little bit, so I look forward to teaching Ephesians. Hope to see you next Sunday. Also, the share groups, and I believe they've already done that, but they're not telling me not to announce them, so I guess I better. Thank you, yes. I want to be obedient, right? Share groups, it says we have two new share groups beginning this month. It's going to be, you can go to the website or on the app for the locations. They are both kid-friendly, and they're going to be meeting, of course, at the Bostics next Sunday, 5:30 p.m. Again, it's kid-friendly. Cleaning ministry, one of the greatest ministries at Calvary Chapel. Thank you for signing up today. And we clean right after the second service and also on Sunday and Thursday evenings at 4 p.m. Kids Church Ministry, I just know that there's going to be about five of you sign up from this service. Next service, it'll be 10. Amen? That's right. Thank you for that. Media department, you have immediate opportunities, again, to go to work up there. That is a great place to work. It's a friendly environment. I don't know. Also, but I'll tell you what the most important thing is besides the Word of God today. Turn me down just one little bit. Just not too much, but there. Let's see. That's perfect. Thank you so much. Is today we have another one of our fine young men. He's going to be leaving for the military. He's going into the Marine Corps. And if there's ever been a time to pray for our military, it is today. Amen? So, Armani, I don't know where you are. I know that you're going to just stand for one moment. There we go. Let's thank Armani. Thank you. Thank you for stepping out. Thank you for serving our country. And I know that you have 13 weeks of boot camp, and that's when we all need to be interceding. Believe me, I have been there, okay? You're going to do great. Father, we thank you for Armani as we start off our service. We thank you for, Lord, the angels of God surrounding him and camping around him, Lord. We thank you, Father, that all the days of his life, you will indeed be his rear guard. He's engraved on the palm of your hand. Oh, Lord God, bless this fine man. Keep him in your perfect will. Oh, Lord, let your plan for his life as he enters into the military unfold. And may he always keep Jesus Christ number one in priority in all that he does, in all that he thinks. Bless him, Lord. And we are thankful for him in Jesus' name. And we all say, amen. Amen. Thank you, brother. You're a blessing. So with all that being said, let's open up with prayer one more time. Father, we praise you now as we enter into our early morning service. Again, thank you, Lord, for those that are here, the visitors that may be visiting, Lord. I pray that they've been warmly greeted and loved this morning. Somehow, some way, as you always do, I look to you. I completely and totally decrease in mind, in flesh. I only want your word. I want you, Father. I want your sheep to hear you only. And not me. Let me be as bold as you want me to be and as tender as I must be. But Lord, let your word that you have exalted above your name that never returns to you void, let it prosper this morning. Let there be an awakening. May every believer cry out in their heart, wake up, sleepy Christian. May there be no slumbering in the spirit. Lord, I pray over all those that have been so ill. We're praying, Lord, please, for that release from the hospital tomorrow for Pete. And, Lord, for Javier, the heart surgery and the colon cancer, all that he's facing. Wisdom with the doctors, oh, Lord. Blessings to the family. And over Donnie and, Lord, all the people that we just continually pray for. Bill Kindler, Beverly, Angel, all the people that have been ailing, Lord. We cover them in the blood of Jesus. And also, Lord, we pray over this nation, our protection. Lord, let your perfect will be done now. In Jesus' name, and the church says, amen. We're going to go into part two of the New Year's message. If you were not with us last Sunday, I really, really, please go online and listen to it and so forth. It's important that you do so. Of course, here we are, 2020, and what, nearly in the middle of the month. The stock show starts soon, we can tell, because it snowed yesterday. You know, only in Texas, 70 degrees on, what, Friday, below freezing or whatever yesterday, and it snowed here. I was out in it about 8:30 yesterday, building a snowman. And then today is supposed to be, what, 65 degrees? I don't really know. But this is, it's just crazy. But anyway, with all that being said, we're going to be in three places this morning. We're going to be in Isaiah 54. We're going to be in Numbers 1, 2, 3, 4, and that, in 10, in that area. And then we're going to close out, well, we won't close, but we're going to then go to Romans 16. So those will be the areas that we're going to be in. But again, if you were not here for last week's sermon, I really pray that you pick that up. As you know, God is sending us on a new adventure. Amen? In 2020, we are pitching our tents, and we're doing so all over this city. Now, Candy Cane Christmas is something we're going to keep working toward this year, but remember what God did. He brought his harvest to us. All we had to do was prepare. Amen? Now the Lord is sending us out into his harvest. But you don't have to go out and knock doors. You don't have to, all you have to do is pitch your tent. And we'll talk about that in the training time, what we're going to be doing with Dan and Stacy Majala, all of them. They'll be going to helping us know what we're going to be doing in the tents, but that's later. So with all that being said, as we move into this year, the harvest, again, as we pitch our tents, the Lord is bringing people to us to a tent called Free. Amen? Okay, we know all those things. However, we can't be resting now. We can't say, oh, how wonderful 2019 was. 2019 is gone. We have to labor. We have to serve this year, and everyone needs to be serving. In Isaiah chapter 53, just setting it up for Isaiah 54, remember that those great chapters, actually from 50 to 55, if you study all that, the studying of the, of course, the suffering of the Messiah, his crucifixion, dying for our sins and iniquities and transgressions, when chapter 53 is over, there's a spontaneous burst of singing begins in Isaiah 54, verse 1. Look at it with me. It says, sing, O barren. Of course, that's Israel. So sing, O barren, you who have not born. Break forth in the singing, cry aloud, you who have not labored with child, for more are the children of the desolate than the children of the married woman, saith the Lord. Now, in the immediate context of chapter 54, we know that it's speaking of Israel's captivity, the Babylonian captivity, is going to be coming to an end. It's coming, it's over. Israel had been the unfaithful wife. She's barren. She's desolate. She's been long in captivity. In verse 5 of chapter 54, you'll notice that God was the faithful husband. He's the one who kept his vows, and now he's bringing Israel out of captivity, and that's why they're singing. Also, chapter 54, verse 1 and 2, is prophetic in nature, so it has many applications. That is also speaking of the second coming of Christ. And it's also speaking of, which is the millennial reign, when they look upon him whom they have pierced, as Israel is surrounded by all the nations of the world that wants to destroy them. Now, so just so you'll know that I'm not twisting scripture, in Isaiah 54, in context, absolutely it has to do with Israel, okay? We all in agreement with that. However, did you know it also has to do with the church? And the reason that I say that is because this is this verse 2 is God's word to us. But let me give you the scripture from the New Testament that combines with this scripture, Galatians 4:27. Let me read it to you. Paul says, for it is written. He's now going to quote Isaiah 54, 1 and 2 here. He says, for it is written, rejoice, O barren, you who do not hear, break forth and shout, you who do not labor, for the desolate has many more children than who has the husband. Now we, brethren, are as Isaac was. We are children of promise. Now, what is Paul saying? Why did he use that scripture? because Israel was desolate. They were barren. That was a shameful thing for a woman to be barren back then. So what is Paul saying? He's saying we are going to have more children of God under the new covenant than the children of God under the old covenant. Does that make sense? My question to you is this. Does God want more people to come to Christ Jesus? Absolutely. He wants his house to be full. We are supernaturally birthed just like Isaac was. We're new creations in Christ. We are a miracle. We're supernatural people, believe it or not. So Paul says here, or rather Isaiah is saying, listen, you're no longer going to be desolate. We're going to do something. And that means it requires effort on our part. Look at verse 2. Here's the word of God to this church this year. Enlarge the place of your tent. Let them, that's something we have to do, let them stretch out the curtains of your dwellings. Do not spare. Lengthen your cords. Strengthen your stakes, for you shall expand to the right and to the left. And then the remainder of that verse has to do with Israel in the millennial reign, okay? Very, very important. There have been so many people using this kind, that scripture to say it's time to build a new sanctuary. Well, I'm not talking about a building. I'm talking about people that are lost. Amen? Enlarging our tent. Listen, this is going to perish. We're after people for eternal things, okay? So when it says enlarge the place of your tent, again, that's people. Stretch out the curtains of your dwellings. What is God saying? It's time to stretch this church again. Matter of fact, do you have any stretch marks? He's going to give us some. Do you understand? That's what's going to happen this year. And there, it's a wonderful thing to have our faith stretched. Amen? That's how we grow. That's how we change. That's how we go from glory to glory. Lengthen your cords, it says. And don't you spare. Don't you stop and not do a thing. In other words, that requires work on our part. Strengthen your stakes. Loved one, we're going to have to hold this tent together because we're getting ready to go into enemy territory. But we don't have to be afraid, for greater is he who is in us than he who is in the world. But we have to be prepared because we are going now. See, they came to us 2019. Now we're going out. We're going to be pitching our tents. They don't know that that's a tent that's going to set them free because the people inside of it, they're free. Amen? Can you imagine what God's going to do in 2020? And then he tells us to expand, go to the right, and go to the left. Well, we have not only this whole city that we're going to be pitching our tents in, we're going to go into Fort Worth, we're going to areas wherever God leads. So it's time. But we will not do this, will not be obedient to this word this year if we don't work, if we don't serve. Loved one, listen. You know it, and I know it. It is time to get out of these four walls. It's time now to take what God is giving unto us. It's time to enlarge our tents. And truly, I can back that up. You know why? The Great Commission. Are we to go? Are we ambassadors for Christ? Yes. Are we fishers of men? Jesus said in Mark 1:17, he said, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. The Bible tells us in John 1:14, what did Jesus do? It says he came and he dwelt among us, or he pitched his tent among us. Why? To die for the sins of the world. John 1:29, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Now here we are. We're pitching our tents. Why? To save those that are lost. That's what God has us doing. Now, before I get into numbers, let me read a scripture from Romans 14 or 15:4. It says, whatever things, Paul says, were written before, meaning in the old covenant, were written for our learning that we, through the patience and comfort of the scriptures, might have hope. Now, in Numbers chapter 1, I'm not going to have a lot of scripture there, but in Numbers chapter 1, or when we just turn to the book of Numbers, you know, the book of Numbers, literally, loved one, is a type of the Christian life. We're always on the move. God is always taking us someplace. We're always going from glory to glory. I don't have to tell you all about the book of Numbers. It's a sad book. And the reason it's sad is because when you get over to old Numbers 13, 14, and so forth, remember what happened. They go spy out the land, and they come back, and they're terrified, and they tell everyone, Moses and all the rest of them, that, you know, we're like grasshoppers. We're little insects in their sight. And they're giants and walled cities and all of that. They were right on the border to take what God had given unto them. Did they believe? No. They refused to enter. We cannot allow the sin of unbelief stop us in 2020. Don't, whatever we do, it'll steal, it stole everything it had for Israel and the first generation, and it'll steal everything that we have if we don't step out and do something. It says in Hebrews 3:19, it says, we see that they, meaning the first generation, could not enter in because of unbelief. They couldn't enter into the promised land because of unbelief. It wasn't because they didn't understand what God wanted them to do. They just wouldn't do it. They didn't have the faith to do it. Man, they were right there. And because of that, it was just a short little journey across. And because they didn't, they wandered for 40 years in the wilderness. Amen? You know the story. Now listen, you know, you can't please God without faith. You know, Romans 1:17, the just shall live by faith. Hebrews 11:6, without faith it is impossible to please God. Loved one, listen, in Numbers chapter 1, great study. Here's what God does. In Exodus, remember, they build all the furnishings and the stuff for the tabernacle, okay? The priestly outfits, the Ark of the Covenant, everything is ready. In Numbers chapter 1, God commands Moses, I want you to take a census. It was the first census of Israel. And I want you to number all of the people that are in Israel, all the men 20 years old and up who are able to go to war. So Moses does this. He does all this numbering of the people. And God says, I'm going to give you the promised land. Now you're going to have to go in and fight. Well, whatever God gives us, we have to go take it by faith too. Amen? Now, in verse 52 of Numbers 1, listen carefully. The children of Israel shall pitch their tents. Is that that's very familiar, isn't it? And everyone by his own camp and everyone by his own standard according to their names, but the Levites shall camp around the tabernacle of testimony. Now, with all that being said, the tabernacle was a what? A tent. That's all it was a tent. A tent in the wilderness. And not only that, the tent of the tabernacle always represents God among his people. What a glorious, wonderful thing. And now my notes just said, screen drops down. Are we prepared? Huh? Now listen, if you see the chart up there that Abby prepared for me, you'll notice that in Numbers, the 12 tribes of Israel, okay, if they're stationed all around God, amen, all around the tabernacle. The tabernacle is facing east. As the sun comes up, that's the first thing it shines upon. Now listen carefully. God places the children of Israel according to their tribes, not the way they wanted to be placed, but God says, I have a divine order for each of you. And you have to get in divine order. Can you imagine there all the tents are facing the tabernacle? Do you see the tents all around? They're all facing the tabernacle. The first thing that happens when they wake up in the morning and they walk out of their tents, what do they see? Well, no, they see more than that. They see right there the Shekinah glory of God. Can you imagine that? Did you know that Israel was the only nation on earth that had the visible presence of the living God, the Shekinah glory of God? Man, what a glorious thing. Now listen, God placed them in perfect order because God is a God of perfect order. When Moses counted all the males, not just the people, there were over 3 million people, loved one, up here. You understand, in the wilderness. He counted all the males that were ready for war. Let me give you the number. 603,550 is what the count is here. Now listen, they all belonged someplace. Could you kind of look at that and just think for just a moment? when you see that, that can, in a way, the tabernacle in the wilderness, all the people there, the 12 tribes, most say it was in a quadrangle. And if it was in a quadrangle, it would be 12 miles in width. 12 tribes, 12. And then, of course, the number of all the people, if they were placed according to some other people, I don't know if it works or not, but it actually formed a cross in the wilderness. Now, with all that being said, it's similar. It's a picture of the body of Christ, isn't it? The reason I say that is because they're all in divine order. 1 Corinthians 12:18. Let me read it to you. But God has set the members, each one of them, in the body just as he pleased. If you are born again, you are in the body of Christ, and he puts you someplace in the body, and you have a specific reason from God for being there. Amen? Now, listen, this is incredible. You know, when you look at the tent up there, in Numbers chapter 3, and I'm going to talk about the image behind me, but remember that out of the 12 tribes, the tribe of Levi was taken from, or the Lord took the tribe of Levi. He said, the Levites are mine. They belong to me, all of them. And so another tribe, or two tribes, came out of it, Ephraim and Benjamin. So the other tribe, so now there's still the 12 tribes. But what did God do? There were three families of the Levites. There's the Kohathites, there's the Gershites, and the Merabites. You see their little tents? And they're placed right by the tabernacle. Of course, you have the outside, you have the laver where the washing is placed, and then you have the place for the burnt offering, and then the holy place, then the Holy of Holies inside. So when you walked into the Holy of Holies, what did you have in there? You took the blood, you would go in with the blood, but on one side you had the showbread, on the other side you had the candelabra, the lights, and then right before the curtains, you had what? Come on, church. In the Holy of Holies, you have the altar of incense. Right before the cherubim, you open up the curtain, what was behind the curtain? Somebody's going to tell me, or I'm not preaching anymore. What was behind the curtain in the Holy of Holies? The ark. Man, I hope the second service loves me. So all of the tribes, they're all stationed exactly the way. And you'll notice that Judah is in the very front. There's the gate that leads into the court, and Judah is the first one. Judah is the leader. There's Moses. He's outside of the camp as well. And there is Aaron and his sons. That's a great little diagram. Now, what I want to show you is this. Remember, I just said, and I'm going someplace, so bear with me. The Levites were three tribes. They belonged to God. Now, when you study this out, if you look with me at Numbers chapter 3, I want to show you something. Numbers 3:25. Now, the Gershites, they were Levites, okay? Now, there were 7,500 of them. God put them on the west side of the tabernacle, or the west side of the tent. Now, listen to what God had them do. The duties of the children of Gershon in the tabernacle of meeting included the tabernacle, the tent with its covering, the screen for the door of the tabernacle of meeting, the screen for the door of the court, the hangings of the court, which are around the tabernacle, and the altar, their cords, according to all the works relating to them. So they would come, and you can see that this area, all the boards and all the sockets and the brackets, somebody had to put them up, somebody had to take them down. Amen? They've already been made. Now, let's go to the Kohathites. They were 8,600. They were stationed on the south side of the tabernacle. Verse 31 of chapter 3. Their duty included the ark, the table, the lampstand, the altars, the utensils of the sanctuary with which they ministered, the screen, and all the work relating to them. So the Kohathites, which were right where? Right there. Their job was to go into this area. And they would, it was incredible what they did. Now listen, I wish I could go into chapter 4. Aaron and his sons, they would enter the holy place and they would walk toward the Holy of Holies. They would remove the curtain that went over the Holy of Holies that hid the Ark of the Covenant, and they would take that curtain and walk forward, and they would cover the ark. And then the Kohathites would come. And if you read chapter 4, It's amazing how God says, you put the badger skin upon the Ark of the Covenant, and you wrap that. And then once you do that, you take a cloth of blue, and it must be entirely blue, and you lay it all over that. And then you take the utensils, and you wrap them, and it goes on and on. This has to be wrapped in purple. This has to be wrapped in scarlet. Anyone who touched the Ark of the Covenant would die. Amen? Listen. Every one of them, they had an incredible job to do and the intricacy with which God said to do it. And then when we look at the Merarites, remember they were stationed right here, the family, the Levites. Remember the three families, here and there and over there. And then it says on the Merarites, now that was 6,200 of them. It says in verse 36, and the appointed duty of the children of the Merarites included, here it comes, the boards of the tabernacle, its bars, its pillars, its sockets, its utensils, and all the work relating to them, and the pillars of the court all around with their sockets and their pegs and their cords. So all that's what they did. Yes, can you imagine putting that up and taking that down? Are you with me? Are you bored yet? Don't be bored. I'm going someplace. Go to chapter 9 of Numbers, verse 15. It says in 9:15 of Numbers, and now on the day that the tabernacle was raised up, the cloud covered the tabernacle and the tent of meeting from evening until morning. And it was above the tabernacle like the appearance of fire. And so it was always that the cloud covered it by day and the appearance of fire by night. Man, what a glorious thing. Again, the Shekinah glory, the visible presence of the Lord. Verse 17, and when the cloud was taken up from above, the tabernacle, after the children of Israel would journey, and in the place where the cloud settled, there the children would pitch their tents. Now listen, there are the workers. There are the 12 tribes of Israel. Can you imagine when the cloud moved? That means it's time we're breaking camp. Are you following me? Can you imagine thousands and thousands of workers? Man, they are swarming all over the place. Every one of them had a job to do. They didn't go over and do the other people's job. They did what God had called them to do in the area of the tabernacle. Are y'all with me? Now listen, so when that happened, they all started working. Can you imagine seeing that? If you could only make that a movie for a moment, and all you just saw people going everywhere. They're getting ready to break the camp. They're getting ready to go. They're going to take down the tent, and then they're going to transport the tent. And when God stops, they're going to set up the tent and the tabernacle all over again. Now listen, when you study out all of this, I wish I had time for 3 hours today. But when you study it all out, you know, the Bible says sometimes the cloud just moved a little bit. And or sometimes it would move, you know, and it was just, if they stayed for a few days, they stayed for a month. Sometimes during the 40 years of wandering, they stayed even for 1 year. Sometimes God woke them up in the middle of the night. You're going to be led at night. Think about that. Whenever the cloud moved, they moved with the Lord. Now, and sometimes it was during the day. Now, here's the deal, Christian. You know, we're living, they're in the wilderness. This world is a wilderness. And if you're not following the Lord, if you're not doing what God wants, I'm going to tell you something. You know, if you're not being led by the Spirit, by the cloud, whatever you want to call it, you're wandering through this world. The Bible says in Romans 8:14, it says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. We need to be led by the Spirit of God. Now, let me ask you a question. Let's say, for example, maybe the Kohathites or the Merarites or the Gershurites or whatever, or all the whatever. Let's say one of them said, you know what? I'm sick of this. Here, I've been out here in this stinking wilderness all this time. I quit. I'm sick of tent pegs. That's all I do. I drive in a tent peg. And then I take out the tent peg, and no one loves me. No one sees me. I've never gotten a text from Moses. He doesn't follow me on Facebook. Aaron has never said thank you. And all I have done, every time the cloud moves, okay, let's go get those tent pegs and da 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 da. So you don't do your job. So the next time the tabernacle was to be set up, well, maybe the northwest corner, there's no support there. Just a tent peg. What do? I put out 10 pegs. What do? I put up the wall around the tabernacle. That's all I've done for 40 years. That's all I've ever done. I don't do anything else. Was that a very important job? Yes, it was. It was a very important job, yet it was a small job. Listen to me now. This is 2020. Jesus is coming. I don't know the day. I don't know the hour. I'm telling you, Jesus is going to come one day. We must work while we have time. Because a night is coming when no man can work, Jesus said. Loved one, listen, it is time to pitch our tents. Every Christian, you have to work now this year. You know, inactive Christians, they don't help the body of Christ. They actually harm the body of Christ. You know, every Christian has been given a God-given role. Is that correct? Yes, every Christian has a gift. Our bodies, remember from last Sunday, our bodies are called tents. Paul said our body's just a tent. It's temporary and so forth. The church, think about us. We are the temple of the living God, aren't we? Yes, we're the body of Christ. Like I just said, the tabernacle, it is in a sense a picture of the body of Christ, yet we're many, many more. And we're all working. We all have to be in our divine order. We all have to be in our place. We all have to follow the Lord. Amen? And if we don't do that, then the body of Christ is going to suffer. Every one of us has to do our share in 2020. Ephesians 4:16, from whom the whole body, joined, knit together by every joint, supplies according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. So every part, every Christian, every one of us, we all have to do our share, which means we have a job that each of us must do. Do you think we might have trouble saying I'm a living sacrifice, but I don't do anything for the Lord? I never discovered my gift. I don't have a prayer time. I don't know any of those things at all. Listen, Romans 12:4, for as we have many members in one body, but we don't have the same function. No, some of us just take care of the boards of the tabernacle or the sockets, or we come in and take the furniture out. You understand what I'm getting at? He says, we don't all have the same function, but let me add to that, but at least we have a function, okay? He says, so we being many, we're one body in Christ and individually members one of another. Man, listen, the Levites were priests. They worked with Aaron and the sons in the tabernacle, okay? They did all that labor. We're priests unto the Lord. God chose men of war. We are people of war, amen? Yes, we're in a warfare. Thank God we know the armor of God. Loved one, listen, not only that, we are following not the cloud, but in a way, yes, we're following the Holy Spirit of God. Not only that, we're enlarging and stretching and pitching our tents. What would happen if we all went to work this year? I wonder if we truly did with a happy heart. No matter how small the task, how big the task, how unnoticed the task, or how noticed the task, what if we all worked this year? I wonder if we could turn our world, our culture here, upside down. Amen. Turn quickly and let's look at Romans 16 with me, please. And I want you to notice, we're going to go through this very quickly. I want you to notice the tent maker who penned this by the power of the Spirit. We're talking about Paul, of course. He uses incredible words to just close out the book of Romans. He's going to mention about 35 men and women. Some of them are in Rome. Some of them are there with Paul and so forth. But he's going to use words like servant and helper and approved and labored and all the rest of it. These are the men and women in Paul's generation that turned their world upside down. Look at it quickly. Let's just go through. It won't take long. Paul says as he closes out, I commend unto you Phoebe, our sister, who is a servant of the church of Cenchrea. That word servant, of course, is diakonos, which means like a deacon of. But what was she a servant of? Did you catch that? She was a Phoebe, the servant of the church in one of the most wicked areas in that time, in that location. That's all we know about Phoebe. Well, we know what her name is. It means radiant. She was, no doubt, the light of the world. But that word servant, I would love to have that penned about me. Amen. Wouldn't you love to have that for generations to read about you? Bill, servant of the Lord. Becky, servant of the Lord. Joe, servant of the Lord. Paul, servant of the Lord. Servant of the Lord. For all of us to read. Let me ask you a question. Do you think that maybe that fine young woman that I don't know that we will meet in heaven, do you think that maybe she had problems in her life? Do we have problems in our life? Do you think that maybe she had time constraints? You think maybe she had children to raise? Are you following me? She just like us, but she did something. She said, I serve God. I serve the Lord. I work for Him. That means that she was not a spectator. I'm watching everything. She was a participator in the kingdom of God. And he goes on, he says, and that you may receive her, meaning in Rome, he says, in the Lord, in a manner worthy of the saints, assist her in whatever business she has need of, for indeed she has been a what? A helper. She was a helper of many. And Paul says, she even helped me. She was a helper of myself. You know the story. You know what Phoebe did. Paul entrusted into her hands what? The book of Romans. She took it there. Verse 3, greet Priscilla, Aquila, my fellow workers, okay? That word again, fellow workers in Christ, Jesus. You know them. They were the tent makers with Paul. They were mission-minded. They also had a church in their home. And not only that, they risked their necks for my life, Paul said. They nearly died. And whom... not only do I give thanks, but all the churches are of Gentiles. They love them too. And likewise, great the church in their house. So they were pastors and missionaries. He says, greet my beloved Epaphras. That's a nice word. It means praiseworthy. He was a Christian in Rome, all right? It says, who is the first fruits of Acacia to Christ. So he was probably the first convert. Greet Mary, who, what did she do? She literally wore herself out. She labored much for us. Greet Andronicus. That means victory, by the way. Junia, youthful. My countrymen and my fellow prisoners who were of note among the apostles. So they were outstanding in all that they did for the Lord, who were also in Christ before me. So evidently they were sharing a prison cell with Paul at one time. They came to Christ before Paul did. Quickly, verse 8. Greet Amplius. That word means large, by the way. Not that it'll save anybody. And my beloved in the Lord, greet Urbanus. That word means of the city. And my fellow worker, there's the word again, in Christ, and Stachys. How would you like to have a name like Stachys? That's a Greek name, means ear of corn. Oh, yeah, I'm going to name your kid that. Hey, never mind. And Paul said, he's my beloved. Greet Apelles. Approved in Christ. Greet those who are of the household of Aristobulus. Man, approved in Christ. God, what a great word. Isn't that great? Approved means he was tested. Approved means he was tried. And he came out great. Now listen, we're going to be tested. We're going to be tried in 2020. We have a job to do. And again, the devil will do everything he can to stop every one of us. Say, oh, no, you know, you don't need to get involved. No, listen, we're expanding to the right and to the left. It says, greet Herodian, my countrymen. Greet those who are of the household of Narcissus, and who are of the Lord. And greet Tryphena and Trophusa, who have labored, there's that word again, in the Lord, and greet the beloved Persis, that's a Persian woman, and who labored much with me. Now, the word Tryphena and Tryphosa, it means one is delicate and one is dainty. And maybe there were twins, amen? But Paul, those words, what they were called, doesn't mean much. I mean, what is important is what Paul said. They labored much. They labored for the Lord. And that's what we have to do in 2020. And that shouldn't be a problem for us, those who are able, that is, to labor for the Lord. Because we're enlarging the place of our tent. We're stretching, we're lengthening, we're expanding all the things that we're doing. But that does that require workers? Does it require servants? Listen, not everyone had the job of taking down the tabernacle. There were about 3 million people there, loved one. You had people that were praying. You had people that were intercessors. You had people that were preparing the food. You had other people that were on watch and keeping guard. Are you following me? Everybody was doing something, and everybody here needs to be doing something. Number one, here in this fellowship, get into the kids' church. Get into something. Work. Take the load off of other people. Greet Rufus. That means red. He had to be a Texan. Greet Rufus, and Lot says, chosen in the Lord and his mother and mine. So Paul says, his mom is great. You know, if he was a Texan, he probably ate, you know, like cornbread and biscuits and gravy. You know what I mean. Come on, you know he's not a Texan, all right. And greet Asyncritus, Helgen, Hermes, that means Mercury, Patrobas, paternal, Hermes, would be Mercury. And greet the brethren that are with him. Greet Philologus, that means lover of the word. And Julia, Nereus, that means lumpy. And his sister, and Olympus, and all the saints who are with him. Greet one another with a holy kiss. The churches of Christ greet you. Question, did they fulfill their ministry? Is their race over? Are they in heaven? Yes, but our race is not over. We have. When we get to Ephesians next week, you're going to find out you were born, you were chosen for right now, right now, right now. You're not here by mistake. You're here by God's divine choice, loved one. Listen, they labored together, but we're pitching our tents. We have to labor. I want God, I'll tell you what God wants. God wants what we just read to be a picture of this church, a church that is not only committed, but a church that is connected. Now turn back one more time to the book of Numbers and look at chapter 10 with me as I turn there with you. Numbers chapter 10, as I turn there myself, and I didn't mark my place, so I need to find it. There we go. You know, from chapter 1 to chapter 10, you should just do a study on that this evening or this week. It's so filled with so much. It's wonderful. And I want you to look at verse 25. And then the standard of the camp of the children of Dan, the rear guard. See, they had their job too, amen? Of all the camps, they set out according to their armies, and their army was and then over the army of the tribe of the children was Asher, and it goes on and on and on. And then in 28, and it says, thus was the order of the march of the children of Israel. In other words, they're finally starting out for the promised land for the very first time. And they begin their journey. Who's the first tribe that walks out first? Who's the tribe below right here? Judah. They take the lead. And then after Judah, loved one, and then comes Issachar. And then Zebulun, and on, the tribes, according to their emblems and according to where God placed them, they start moving because the cloud is going to move. Do you follow me? Oh, to see that actually happen must have been incredible. What an incredible parade through the wilderness, through the desert. A people that God has brought or had brought out of bondage, out of slavery, out of Egypt. And they did it. God did it how? By the blood of the Lamb, by the blood of the Lamb. When they left, loved one, the Shekinah glory of God, they're being led by another. We're being led by the Spirit of God. Now listen very carefully to me. When they launched out to follow the cloud, 3 million people up there, were they in the perfect will of God? Yes. Think of that. They were in the perfect will of God. They were in divine order. Everyone knew their job. Everyone knew their task. Everyone knew what they needed to be doing. God, Moses had instructed them. There they were in the perfect will of God, and they set out for the land that God said, I have already given unto you. All you have to do is go in and fight and take it. You know what's sad? As I read those names, Judah and Issachar, Dan or Zebulun, all of them, Benjamin, all the rest of them. What's sad about that is that they never, the first generation, they never reached their God-given destiny except Joshua and Caleb. Oh, loved one, listen. They missed God's plan. They missed God's purpose that he had for them. And listen now, they all, the first generation, they all died in the desert. They were all buried in the desert. But listen to me, did they have to die? No, they didn't have to die. All they had to do was believe by faith and trust what God had said and just go into the promised land and so forth. Listen, if we are not following Jesus, loved one, in 2020, that means we're going our own way. And we're going to miss the plan of God that he has for this church. In Numbers 10:29, listen, it says here, as they're leaving, and Moses says to Hobab, the son of Reuel, the Midianite, Moses' father-in-law, he says, oh, listen, Hobab, we're setting out for the place which the Lord has said, I'm going to give it to you. What's that next word? Come with us. Moses looks at him and says, listen, we're going someplace. We're going to be pitching our tents, man. There's a land of milk and honey that God has given unto us. He says, oh, come with us. He says, if you'll come, Hobab, listen, we will treat you well. For the Lord has promised good things to Israel. Has God promised good things to his church? Yes. We are setting out this year. We're going to be trained tent etiquette. We're going to be trained what to do in the tent. We're going to not only a place, we're going to places that God is going to give us. We're going to pitch our tents. And along the way, there will be battles, there will be circumstances, but there's going to be victories. Loved one, we are a chosen generation. We are a royal priesthood. Amen? We've been called by God out of the darkness of this world to proclaim his marvelous light. That's who we are. Listen, God has given us an incredible, unbelievable opportunity in 2020. And here it is. To invite those out there. To invite others. Hey, I like the King James better. Come thou with us. We know the way. We have the promises of God. Now think with me. When we launch our tent ministry, when we go out with that tent called Free, say we have 10 tents. Say we have 20 tents. Say we have 30 tents. Say we have 50 tents, all going out at different times to different places. Not every day. Who knows what or how it's going to work. Amen? I'm declaring it. I'm not defining it. Let's say we have 50 tents. Here we are. Let's say we go to the park, Trinity Park, or a park around here, whatever it might be. There's a sports game, soccer. I don't know. We're in the tent, two of us, crummy and dummy. One speaks English, one speaks Spanish. Here we are. Nothing. Bibles with us, whatever, to give away. And there they come. Well, it's free. That's when God moves upon you. Well, can we pray with you about something? Well, I am going through a bad time right now. Well, let's pray. And let's say that, listen to me, expect the supernatural. Expect God to move through you for them. God loves the lost. He'll do anything to save the lost. But he uses you to do it. Let's say we have 50 tents. And let's say we're all out there. And let's just say 5 people come to each tent. How many people is that? If you have 50 tents, you have 50 apples times 5. Lord, if the next service does this to me, I won't make it. 150. Can you listen to me? Oh, 250. Oh, what did I, less three people than it. I don't care how many. If you have 30 tents and five people, how many is that? I'm a pastor. I'm not a math major. Now listen, and that happens on one Saturday. When is the last time you prayed in one day, prayed with, talked with, shared with 150 people? Are you with me now? When's the last time you even prayed with out there in one day, two people? I'm telling you, they're going to come to your tent. We have the privilege, the God-given privilege and honor to do this. I understand why Moses said to Hobab, Hobab, come on. Come with us. We are on an adventure. We're on an adventure to a good land. God's promises, they never fail. What did Hobab do? You know what he did? Look at it in verse 30. And Hobab said to Moses, oh, I will not go. I'll depart to my own land and to my relatives. And Moses said, oh, Hobab, listen. Please do not leave. Please do not leave. Moses was really wrong because, you see, he told Hobab, you can be our eyes, you can be our guide. Moses didn't need a guide. He had the Shekinah glory of God. We need leaders. We need people in the tent. Tent leaders that are spiritual, that have their eyes on God, that say, Lord, here I am in this tent. I expect the supernatural to occur today. You know, one of the greatest things you can tell people that don't know Jesus, because you're a believer, you can say, come. Come with us. If you don't know Christ, come with us. You don't know the way home, but we do. We know the way home. The world that you live in is a wilderness. You don't have to die in the wilderness. You can be saved. You can be changed. You can be anew. 2020, we're either going to be called, just like so many today, church comfortable, or the church that is led by the divine comforter, the Holy Spirit of God. It's time now, and I know I've gone longer than I'm supposed to, but I don't care. Let me just say what Moses said. And so it was whenever the ark set out that Moses said, oh, rise up, O Lord, let your enemies be scattered, and let those who hate you flee from before you. And oh, and when the cloud rested, Moses said, return, O Lord, to the many thousands of Israel. If we stopped right there, you would study out the greatest 10 chapters in all of Numbers. But what happened? The next chapter, look at verse 1. And now when the people complained, it displeased the Lord, for the Lord heard it. Let's not go there, amen. We have a job to do. Here's what you need to do. You need to go to info@loveneverfails.com and say, I want to be in the tent. We're taking the list, and then we'll let you know when the training begins. All you have to do is email us, info@loveneverfails.com. I am ready for the greatest year. We're getting ready to expand to the right and to the left. Not talking about the building. I'm talking about the territory that the devil has taken, and it's time to take it back. It's time to win people to Jesus Christ. That's what we're going to do. We're going to walk on water. We're going to step out in that new adventure, and we're just going to go by faith and say, Lord, here we are. Bring them to me. And Lord, then use me to win them. Amen. Father, we thank you in Jesus' name for all that you're doing, all that you're about to do. And Lord, we're following the cloud. We're going to pitch our tent. We're going to strengthen our cords, Lord. We're going to lengthen our curtains. Father, we're going to follow your word, 2020. Oh God, thank you for choosing us. Thank you for allowing us to participate in your plan, Lord. May this church rise up now. May they be faithful to the calling which you have given unto us. We love you. We praise you. In Jesus' name. And the church says, amen. Amen. Let's stand to our feet this morning. God is good. Amen.